Okay, Sarah? Okay, good evening. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Kingborough Council ordinary meeting. It's Monday, the 23rd of March, and it being 5:30 p.m, I officially declare the meeting open. My name's Dean Winter. I'm the Mayor of Kingborough, and my first job is to advise the meeting that council meetings are recorded, but also tonight that we are for the first time streaming our council meeting, a general council meeting, live on Facebook. We appreciate members of the public for not attending tonight, and that's not a sentence I thought I'd ever say, but I'm very pleased that people who usually come have listened to the advice and stayed home unless absolutely necessary. But at the same time, we're pleased to have hopefully a lot of people following along at home. The next job that I have is to acknowledge our traditional custodians of the land, and I begin by paying our respects to those traditional and original custodians of the land, the Muwinina people. I acknowledge the contemporary Tasmanian Aboriginal community who have survived invasion and dispossession and continue to maintain and fight for their identity, culture and Indigenous rights. Attendees this evening, we have myself, Councillor Winter, we have our Deputy Mayor, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Grace, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Street and Councillor Reet. And from our staff this evening, we have our General Manager, Gary Arnold, our Executive Manager of Governance and Community Services, Daniel Smee, and our Communications and Engagement Advisor is Sarah Wilcox. Apologies this evening, we have apologies from Councillor Flora Fox and Councillor Steve Wass. Confirmation of minutes. There's a motion on page one that reads that the minutes of the open session of council meeting number 5 held on 10 March 2020 be confirmed as a true record. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder of that motion. Moved by Councillor Bastone and seconded by Councillor Reet. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, the motion is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 2, and it's workshops held since the last council meeting, and to let members of the public know that on the 13th of March we had a meeting on climate profiles, and on the 16th of March we had a workshop on the draft budget. The next item is declarations of interest. Does anyone have an interest they'd like to declare this evening? Councillor Bastone.
I have a declaration of interest in an item in closed session.
Will you be staying in the room?
I would like to, but I don't think I can.
You'll be leaving the room. Okay. And there are no other lights on. So we now move to transfer of agenda items. Does any councillor have an item they'd like to transfer this evening? General Manager, did you want to speak at this point?
Thank you, Mayor. Councillors, as you're aware, late this afternoon I emailed all councillors with a copy of two urgent items that I'm hoping council will see fit to agree to consider tonight. One relating to Kingborough Council's response to COVID-19 pandemic, and the other an interim financial hardship policy. And Mr. Mayor, I would propose that after the delegates report in the Planning Authority, that these two items be considered before any other officers report.
Do you need a motion to that effect now, or can we deal with it at that point?
I think you can deal with it at that point.
Great. Okay. The next item is questions without notice from the public, but of course this would be the time when we would hear questions without notice from members of the public, and without them here we can't. So we'll move on to questions on notice from the public. We had one question on notice from the public, which is on page 2 of the agenda, and it's called Boat Sheds at Nebraska Beach, and it's from Ms. Lynn Segnia, and there's an officer's response there as well on that page. We now move to questions without notice from councillors. Councillor Grace.
Sorry. Mayor, just to go back, as I've been away on sick leave, on the 11th of February I raised a question without notice regarding to Ewing Avenue, and I raised an issue about lawyers not being able to get vice feedback from council solicitors. The general manager, in his reply, said your feedback is inaccurate and far from the truth. At the time, I said that was not the case. I was working on information provided to me. And only today I've got a note, an email from the occupants of that property saying that council is now giving notice to take proceedings. But before so, to clarify my question, I just read an article that I had.
Councillor Grace, it has to be a question.
Well, the question that I'm raising is the fact that it was not inaccurate what the statement I made.
Right.
As I have correspondence from a solicitor saying, the council's behaviour, their lack of transparency, their aggressiveness, bullying, and sometimes,
and Councillor Grace, bullying, what's your question?
Is something I have never seen previously.
Yep.
Now, my question is, Mayor. This particular application, as I understand, was according to the general manager that he was going to allow the two solicitors to sort the issue out. Well, the question is, how can they sort it out when they're not talking to one another?
General manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The situation, simply put, is that council engaged a solicitor because the party involved had done similarly. Council ceased the council solicitor's duties in this matter following advice from the other party that they had ceased the tenure of their solicitors. In essence, Councillor Grace, the reason that I responded as I did on the 11th of February is that there was no approval that was set to expire. The only thing that was set to expire was a notice under the Urban Drainage Act, Section 13(1), that requires an applicant to obtain the general manager's approval for any construction within or over a council easement. That approval has not been obtained. The other party has a development application approval that has an advice notice on it that says the applicant must get approval under the Urban Drainage Act. That approval has not been given. Subsequently, the applicant has a situation whereby they have built a structure over council stormwater easement without a building approval and without approval under the Urban Drainage Act. That's the summation of the matter before us, Councillor Grace.
Mr. Mayor, I appreciate that and thank you for that, because that's exactly what I wanted to hear on that. My second question is, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask this as an open question. Is the occupants at 2 Ewing Avenue being victimised because of a question that occupant raised at the AGM, standing up saying she had no confidence in our general manager?
General manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that, but I would like to see this resolved.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you so much. A lot of my questions were about COVID-19, but I'm pleased to see that we're going to be talking about that later on. So my first question is, on November 11th of 2019, this council passed DA 2019-112 for earthworks and tree removal at Kingston Park. Despite my efforts, the resolution passed has allowed for the destruction of 39 trees, including 19 of high conservation value and 2 of very high conservation value. I've recently been receiving correspondence from concerned community members who would like those trees saved. What options have these constituents available to them to implore the council or the developer to please consider saving those trees?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Cordova, I think the best option available to those members of the community is to contact the holder of the development approval.
Thank you. My second question, Mayor. Councillors have received correspondence from a resident concerned with a hedge at Blackmans Bay Beach, which is allegedly encroaching over the path to the extent that it's causing people to walk behind cars, to walk on the road behind cars. Can the Mayor please confirm that gardening works are scheduled for this section of brush on the Blackmans Bay Beach and indicate any expected timeframes?
Thanks, Councillor Cordova. Yes, there's an issue that's been identified down at Blackmans Bay Beach with a hedge that apparently needs to be clipped, and it was advised by the manager of works today that that'll be programmed and undertaken next week.
Thank you so much. My final question, Mayor. Declared weeds are a problem in our municipality, including on roadside and verges that are under the control of the state government and the Department of State Growth, that then spread to other areas at great cost to the council. Noting council's ability to serve notices on residents to compel them to deal with weeds on their property, will council consider serving a notice to the state government's Department of State Growth requiring them to deal with weeds on the side of state highways?
I'll take that on notice, I think. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. Given the public has chosen not to attend tonight, I have some questions without notice from the Kingborough Ratepayers Association.
Sure.
So on behalf of the Kingborough Ratepayers Association, there are two questions. The first one relates to the coronavirus impacts on Council's draft budget and operating plans for 2020-21. Given unpredictable circumstances surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic, manifesting at the same time Council contemplates draft budgets and operational plans for 2020-21, Kingborough Ratepayers Association requests Council immediately suspend all non-essential spending and plan for a surplus in reserves to support the local community through this crisis now and into the future. Specifically, it is requested by the Kingborough Ratepayers Association that 1, Council ease pressure on ratepayers by determining no rate increases for the 2021 budget and proactively explore ways to ease current and future financial pressures on ratepayers. 2, that Council ease pressures on local small businesses fighting to survive by abolishing the financial burden of small business levies and charges for 2020-21. And that 3, Council communicate to achieve 100% reach within the municipality its intentions to deal with the impacts of the pandemic. And the Ratepayers Association, the question without notice is what Council would propose to do in response to these suggested measures.
Thanks, Councillor Westwood, and appreciate the Ratepayers Association, who have been a regular attendee to these meetings for the past at least 3 or 4 years, heeding the advice of the government and not attending, and I'm sure watching at home via Facebook. The financial impact on local government across Tasmania is going to be very significant through this, and Kingborough Council was forecasting a rate rise in its long-term financial plan anyway of around 2.8% next year, as well as a budget surplus. But we now face a significant deficit. There's no other option here. And I think the ratepayers are quite right to be concerned about the not just the financials of small business and households, but also that council maintains a strong balance sheet. However, when it comes to suggestions of rate caps, or in fact in that question, I think I heard along the lines that we should basically not levy rates or charges to small business. The simple fact is that if we elect not to charge or rate then the financial viability of this council comes into question itself, and the last thing we need to do for this community is for its local council to not be able to operate. In terms of our costs, we have no intention of doing anything other than continuing to serve the community over the next 6 months as this pandemic continues. And I would much prefer myself that we are able to provide more generous rates concessions and small business support at the end of this pandemic to the most impacted rather than a rate cap for everyone. At this stage, I don't think we're able to responsibly do both.
Thank you, Mayor. And the second question on behalf of the Kingborough Ratepayers Association, can you please advise what the annual budget deficits or surplus amounts listed in various annual reports for the past 13 years are, along with the accompanying cash reserves for the same period?
We'll take that on notice.
Thank you.
No further questions without notice. In that case, questions on notice from the public. Question one is the efficacy of the new low flow outflow at Blackmans Bay Beach from Councillor Cordover, and there's an officer's response there on page three as well. And with that, the open session adjourns and the planning authority will commence at 5:45 p.m. First item is officers' reports to the Planning Authority, delegated authority for the period of 25 February 2020 to 10 March 2020. Looking for a mover and a seconder of the recommended motion on page 6, moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Reet. Councillor Reet.
Thank you. I notice again, and we've had quite a few of these recently, that there have been applications for change of use from residential to visitor accommodation. I'm wondering, given the current circumstances that we find ourselves in, if a person has previously applied for change of use to an accommodation premises, whether they have to apply for a change back to residential should they decide to convert their property into a long-term rental rather than an accommodation business.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Reed, I don't believe so, but it would be prudent for them to advise Council's Finance Department of that change because there are rating implications both ways.
Just to follow up on that answer then.
Just to follow up on that answer then, could we communicate that perhaps to the general community, because we're in unusual circumstances at the moment and I'm aware that there are a number of tourism operators looking at converting their accommodation to long-term rentals, so it would be valuable to get that information out to the community.
So I've taken that note of that. Would you want to respond?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, Councillor Reed, I'll certainly follow that up with our Manager of Development Services and also with our Communications Officer.
Councillor Bastow.
Thank you. This is in relation to DA 2019-170, change of use from garage to visitor accommodation unit, a new outbuilding garage. This came before us probably 4 years ago, and the people wanted to put on this block of land a three-bedroom house and four accommodation units. The council rejected it. It went to appeal and it was rejected again. The people went ahead and built it as if it had four units and just called one of them a garage. This seems very strange. I've come in and spoken to the planning authority here about it, and I'm sorry there's no one here tonight, and I did put an objection in so that we could discuss this, but I didn't get anything back from council on it. But this has been before us. It's been to, as I said, they appealed, they were knocked back, and yet it's come up here now, and it's discretionary development is going through. I don't understand how that can happen.
Yeah, well, obviously we can't do it formally, but I'm happy to have Ms. Tyler Moore come back to you tomorrow with an explanation.
That would be good, because I have been to the planning department, and I still, from their explanation to me then, I can't see how this is here.
Yeah. And I probably should have said at the start of the meeting as well, normally Ms Tyler Moore would be here and we'd have a lot more staff than we do because of the implications of the distancing requirements and to keep everyone safe. We've minimised staff here as well, so we might be unable to answer a few, some questions. We'll come back with notice. Councillor Grace.
Thank you. Page 4, DA202048. Change of use to home-based business, wine sales. We, as a council, we don't give a licence for anyone to sell wines, do we? Isn't this up to the liquor?
General Manager.
Or is it worded wrong?
No, through you, Mr Mayor. Councillor Grace, you're correct. But the first step is to get development approval.
First.
So that they can then get the requisite approval from the Liquor Licensing Commission.
So no other lights on, so given that, the motion was moved by Councillor Street and seconded by Councillor Reid, and it reads that the report be noted. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. And at this point... yep. Apologies. So the planning authority session adjourns and the open session council will resume at 5:50 p.m. Notice of motion. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion received. Number 15 is petitions still being actioned, and there were no petitions still being actioned at the time the agenda was compiled. And petitions received in the last period, at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. So this is the point you'd like to add the... So we're looking for... What would the motion read, General Manager?
Through you, Mr Mayor. We just need a motion to accept the council by absolute majority accept the urgent items, namely Kingborough Council COVID-19 response and rates hardship policy.
I move that.
Moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Bastone. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion is carried unanimously. So the first item we'll do is the Kingborough Council COVID-19 response, and there was a agenda paper emailed around this afternoon, but also put a couple of the papers on your desks. Mm-hmm. So the COVID-19 recommended motion is on page 7 of that attachment. We'll be looking for a mover and a second of that recommendation. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Westwood. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. So I just think this is very important, and it's great that we have this on the agenda tonight. I note that we only got this probably about 4 hours ago, so it has been a quick response in regards to Councillor being able to up-to-date and read this. But the report updates the Council on COVID-19 and outlines related impacts and responses by the Council. The Council recognises that the situation is evolving rapidly, and the report summarises the Council's roles in a pandemic, actions taken to date in response to the latest information, advice and directives from the Australian and Tasmanian governments, and a proposed community support package. I note as well that the Mayor and the General Manager met with other Council, Greater Hobart Councils last week, so I guess hopefully we're on the same track as other councils, and also taken our Kingborough municipality into response in developing this as well. And I'd actually like to hear some more discussion, perhaps from the General Manager and the Mayor, in regards to talking to the paper perhaps a bit more. And I have a few questions as well that I will ask as I went through it. One of the points were in regards to the closures of council services and events like that, and I note that also our Ms Wilcox probably has been working very long and hard to actually keep the social media page updated in regards to responding to the ever-changing response that we're receiving from the federal and state governments. And it's been really great. Some people were... I had an email from someone just sort of amazed that the sports centre was closed so quickly, but I think that's, again, it's a rapid response. We need to act quickly in that situation with a high number of users. And the halls as well, I note that there's many users of the halls, and some of them are looking at very creative ways, I guess, to support themselves and make their situations viable. As we know, there's so many people in our community who are personally affected by this as sole traders, local businesses, tourism and things like that, and it's a very big time and a very emotional time for so many people in the community as every day we look at new ways of just really managing our lives. There was a point on page 4 in regards to all youth and community events have been cancelled until further notice. I just note that our youth workers do a great job in working with vulnerable young people in our community, and I'm just interested to know how we're connecting with our vulnerable young people, and I'm sure that they're looking at creative ways of doing that. I don't know if the General Manager wants to make any comments.
Mrs. Smee, probably the most. Mr. Smee.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, our youth staff communicate with young people quite regularly through social media and through non-face-to-face contact, and we'll continue to do that. And I think our youth staff are well known to the young people within our community, and they will reach out to them if there is a need.
Thank you. That's great to hear. Often they're often the voice in our community that isn't heard, but the voice in these matters. They're often a very very vulnerable community. The rents paid by tenants in council premises, I was just wondering if I could just get some further explanation around the council could look to provide rent relief in the form of a grant for its tenants in financial hardship. Could I just get some explanation of that?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Midgley, the use of the term grant or the word grant was probably, in hindsight, not the most appropriate. It may just be a waiver, but the point that I was trying to make was that between now and the end of this financial year, a lot of our businesses are going to be impacted dramatically, and in terms of financial hardship, it seems appropriate to recommend to council that we do everything we can to help our existing businesses to be there when we get to the other side of the pandemic.
Thank you. Also, just the note, in regards to rates, the council will set its rate for the 2021 financial year in the coming months. The draft budget is on hold for the time being. Do we have any further dates or comments in regards to that?
As you know, we would have liked to have gone out for public consultation last Friday, but given the fluidity of the situation and the high likelihood that the draft budget wouldn't have been worth the paper it was written on in a few weeks' time, we didn't think there was much point in going ahead with it. In terms of the date, we do hold our special meeting to set our budget. I think it's highly unlikely we'd be sitting on the 1st of June as we currently plan to. And we're also hearing through the Minister's office that there may be scope to relax the provisions that currently require us to set a budget by August, particularly given the federal government's not doing its budget until, I think, October. Is it October? October. We may need to wait as well just to get a better understanding. I think the situation we're in at the moment financially is that we don't have all the information we'd like about what the impact of this is. We're hearing anecdotal stories and talking to as many people as we can, but until we get a good feel for what the impact has been, it's hard to understand what the impact is going to be on our own budget.
Thank you. It's great to see that we're looking at support local collateral, and I think we already have that brand of Love Living Locally. It's a great brand that perhaps we can capture on in regards to this. And again, as we know, the retailers, services and hospitality businesses every day are changing and suffering. And I know the Mayor and Deputy Mayor had a Facebook post about buying a voucher to look for the future, and again, so it's great. But I guess as a community member, it's about that whole understanding of what we can and can't do. So hopefully in our information that we put forward around that, people can actually understand what they really can and can't do in that situation. And I heard on the radio today as well that they're looking at, we have so many amazing local markets across the municipality, and there's a page evidently for markets online as well, so it'd be great to promote that one. And I just wondered if we're doing anything at all, and perhaps that could be all around the supporting local, around so many of our local artists who and people involved, I guess, in the event space, and are we doing it, are we working at all with any of the local artists to see the impact, I guess, on them and supporting them? Or I just note that in the sort of headings we didn't have anything in regards to the arts.
I think I'll let the GM add anything if he needs to, but we haven't had those conversations really with anyone yet. I've had conversations with small business over the weekend. Tomorrow, myself and Councillor Bastone is the chair of KCEC, the Enterprise Centre, will be discussing this with Mayor Beck Enders from the Huon Valley and Scott Dufty from the Enterprise Centre to talk about what they're hearing on the ground from their businesses. But the way I see it happening is that we'd be talking to local artists and community groups in the same way as we are small business over the coming months to get a good understanding of where they're at.
Great, thank you. And I just note as well, in the recommendations, it has the council committee meetings be cancelled indefinitely. I was just wondering about council workshops.
My view is that they are completely at odds with the federal government and the state government's advice to only go places if you absolutely need to, and I wouldn't have thought workshops would fit that. That being said, if we do set up some kind of teleconferencing facility for meetings, which is one possibility, we might be in a position to hold them, but I certainly wouldn't be expecting workshops next Monday. General Manager, anything to add? No.
Okay, thank you. And yeah, just thank you, Mayor, and the General Manager, and all this Kingborough Council staff for the fantastic work and response that you're doing in this situation.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. And to echo Councillor Midgley's sentiments, thank you, General Manager and staff, for putting together a response to this evolving pandemic. We are in very unprecedented and uncertain times. Certainly feels very surreal as we try and maintain some kind of normalcy in a world that doesn't seem very normal anymore. I'd like to just pick a couple of things out. I certainly support suspending council committees at the moment. A lot of the people who attend those meetings are potentially in a high-risk category. As the chair of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee, I certainly think that is a sensible and socially responsible move. Just to pick up on the interim community support package, that would include fees and charges for the use of council facilities, rents paid by tenants in council premises, loan guarantees for community organisations, procurement and support for local businesses, capital works and rates. I would really like to see any support that we provide our community members and our local businesses and our community organisations to have the best impact for them as possible. I think that people will be affected in different ways as this pandemic unfolds, and so I'd certainly be very keen to make sure that any assistance we provide is targeted to those who very much need it the most. I did have one question, and that was in relation to part two of the recommendation that council delegate to the general manager all applications that would otherwise be determined by the full council in relation to planning, and it says unless they are called in by a councillor. So as a councillor, if I thought something needed to come to the full council, how would I go about doing that?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Westwood, the only reason I have recommendation two in, and thank you for the question, is as council would be aware, we have many local builders and developers and some of them are already laying off staff. And I didn't want this council to be in a situation where a local builder or developer, for example, had to lay off staff because they couldn't wait for a special council meeting to consider a development application. We have been in contact with the Minister's office. I spoke with the Minister's chief advisor myself today. LGAT has been in contact with the Minister's office, and the Minister's office have assured us that they are listening to the matters we've raised and are hoping to introduce legislation in the next day or two, literally, to address statutory timeframes and also to address the fact that the legislation currently doesn't allow meetings to be held if you're not here in person. The only reason for this recommendation is if that legislation, due to the pandemic, for example, wasn't introduced in time, I wouldn't want this council in a position that we had a local business at risk because we couldn't meet as a planning authority.
Thank you. So just to confirm, in the time, in the interim time that it takes the legislation to pass both Houses of Parliament and receive royal assent from the Governor, you would use your discretion to approve planning applications and potentially, if there were any bigger issues, you would bring them to Council out of session?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr Mayor. I appreciate that in the rush, recommendation 2 probably hasn't been self-explanatory as much as the others hopefully have been. The intention would be that if Council gives me that delegation tonight, if the State Government act swiftly as they say they will with legislation, it will become redundant immediately. If for whatever reason, pandemic potentially, that hasn't occurred, how I would envisage this happening is that any development application that would normally go to a council meeting or a planning authority meeting, both, I would share with all councillors and give 24 hours to respond to say, this is what I'm intending to do unless a councillor calls in this application. And that would give any councillor the ability to say, stop right there, Mr GM. Before you do that, you have to find a way for the council to make that decision as planning authority.
All right, thank you very much.
Councillor Grace.
Yeah, whilst I'm just coming to terms with the whole situation and I understand and I hear what councils have talked about, I agree with. I am concerned. I just note the emergency action plan. The team is meeting frequently. That information, and at the moment we are provided in the last few days with virtually everything that's happened, state or within our own council. For instance, if the situation worsens deeply, particularly with the elderly in the homes and etc., what part will our health, like Mr. Dool is our chief health coordinator and our doctor is Dr. Lord, we need to, well, the question is, I guess, Mr. Mayor, is the fact is, council, this team has taken all that into account with the state government. If unemployment comes so bad as it has, with the small Centrelink office, is council staff or the management team looking at look at ways to streamline that, because apparently they were lined up down the steps there today. These are issues, and no doubt we can't do everything in 5 minutes, as the General Manager has said, this is just the working paper for us now. And I think one of the councillors raised the issue, if we as councillors are approached by a business that's in financial trouble, we then just do our normal email to Amanda or Mrs. Morton or the Mayor.
Jane, probably.
Yeah. The only other issue, Mayor, that concerns me with this is, and I hate to say it, I came in here tonight and there's people over there screaming at the door at the building on the opposite side of the road. Obviously there'd been an accident or something, I don't know what took place. But I'm a little bit worried that who's going to reinforce and who's going to keep us safe. Is it going to be more vandalism? Is there going to be more house break-ins, etc.? I haven't seen anything in this, although I did note on the news in Victoria or somewhere they're putting 500 more police on. Mind you, that's a big state. And I believe, if necessary, they'll call the army in. I mean, I know there's steps that we've got to look at because hopefully it doesn't come to that, but maybe it will, because when you read the news tonight, the amount of increase in the bacteria in Victoria and other parts of the world, it's just skyrocketing and it's scary. But and then we're going to deal with this financial paper separately.
Yep.
Yeah. That's my concerns, but as long as we as councillors are fully informed, I guess we can't do no more. It's just out of our control, but I know, and I've got faith in staff, and I've got faith in the government and the health department to make sure that everybody is as safe as they possibly can. The other issue, I guess, is the ferry on Bruny Island. Is there any... what's the steps there with... I mean, people are in cars, I suppose, not standing. So, you know, if we're going to make this 1.4 rule, what's it going to be on the ferry? I mean, if they make it 1.4, you'll only get two cars on the new ferry. But they're things that I no doubt, Mayor, I'm probably being fatigued about all this, but they're things that no doubt will probably come back to us if there's a problem in those areas.
Yes, Councillor Grace. Councillor Reid.
Thank you. I thank the General Manager and staff who have prepared this report because obviously things have rapidly changed over the last 10 days and someone who's going through this in my other job, I know how difficult it is to put together impact statements and contingency plans so that the world keeps revolving. So I appreciate the work that's gone into this. I did want to touch on the question that Councillor Grace just asked, because that was one on my list. In relation to the Bruny Island Ferry, do we know whether there have been any discussions with the operators in relation to preventing passengers from getting out of their cars whilst they're on the ferry so that safe distancing is maintained? And I guess the other half of that question is, what are we aware that the new that SeaLink, the operators, have put in place some policies to maintain safe distancing, etc.?
To be honest, of all the things I've thought about in the last, there hasn't been one of them. Councillor Bastone, you sit on the ferry reference group. Has it been raised there?
No, it hasn't, but it comes under the public transport, and public transport there is no safe distancing.
Okay, that's a good point. Mm. Is Metro still operating?
It would be interesting to have some sort of engagement, though, with the operators to ensure that we're protecting the health and well-being of the people who live on Bruny Island and who are using the ferry on a regular basis. Because, yes, it is public transport, but it's also putting them in close confines if they're to get out of their cars. So I'd be interested in a further response to that.
The General Manager said he'll follow that up.
Thank you. I'm pleased to see that the State Government is rushing through legislation this week to enable us to perhaps meet remotely. It's a shame that Council committees have to be cancelled in light of the situation we now find ourselves in, and I fully support the decision to not hold them in person, but I am wondering whether we know if the legislation that the government is putting through will allow perhaps for council committees to also be held through video conferencing or other technology.
The General Manager doesn't know, neither do I. It's an interesting question.
I'm thinking. I guess my thought process is the business of council needs to continue. Each of those committees has particular work that they do. And, for example, the Access Committee that I chair, probably more so now than ever, we need to be hearing from members of the Access Committee about the support services that they need in the municipality. So I would hope that...
Perhaps could we move an amendment to just delete three, and, you know, we're not scheduling meetings, obviously, at the moment, but at least would leave it open to us that if the legislation does allow it, we can hold those meetings remotely?
That would be terrific, because I'd hate to think that for 6 months that those committees aren't able to operate. And I'm sure that with some assistance, the members of those committees would be able to work the technology involved for having meetings remotely.
Do you want to maybe just ask the mover and seconder if they'd agree? I think the mover was Councillor Mitchell and the seconder was Councillor Westwood from memory.
Yes, I would support that. So that would be deleting that rather than changing the wording to council meetings be cancelled.
Just taking it out.
Okay. So, yep.
So, in other words, we remain silent.
Sorry. We remain silent on the issue of committee meetings. That leaves it open for us to operate them remotely should that be part of the legislation.
Okay. So, say if there's a meeting on, I think there's a Safety Committee meeting on Monday, if you can prepare your... if they can get whatever Zoom or whatever they need to in time, that it happens, and if it doesn't... Yep.
Yeah, we'll have to see what the new legislation says, and then it would also need to be actually through in time. I don't think we'd be able to hold committee meetings remotely next week, but we may be able to, Councillor Reid says, in a couple of months' time if this continues. So you're happy with that. To summarise, you're happy, Councillor Midgley?
It's a fantastic point.
And Councillor Westwood, are you happy with that?
I'm happy with that.
Okay, so by agreement of the mover and the seconder, that point three has now been deleted, and point four is now point three, etc. Councillor Wheat, did you want to continue?
No, that's all, thank you.
Councillor Cordova.
Thanks very much, Mayor. Firstly, a question about who... can please reiterate who's on the COVID-19 team.
General Manager, your memory is going to be tested.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, you're correct. My memory will be tested well and truly. But I have my colleague, the comms officer here, who is one of the members on that team. Abby Maguire from our health department, John Doole, Belinda Loxley, who is also our emergency management coordinator. I'm on it. Help, sir. Thank you. Meg, Lorraine and Liz Quinn.
Thank you. And I guess a follow-up question is, I assume the councillors will be receiving regular briefings, and what is the communication mechanism to share some of those decisions with the wider community?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, council will be receiving regular communications, Councillor Cordova. We are still in the process of setting up all of the appropriate portals, teams on Microsoft Teams, etc., to make that happen. But the communications officer and that team have it in hand, and I'm confident that over the next couple of days all of those processes will be put in place so that effectively whatever information our staff get, our councillors will get, our community will get, and it'll be communicated widely.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, I'd like to race through my substantive contribution, if I may. This, I believe, is a very timely and proportionate response that I will be supporting, and I seek to assure the community that in this time of crisis that I and all of us around this table will stand with them, and I speak on behalf of myself here when I say that I will stand with my colleagues around this table on the council in a spirit of unity, to make sure that we have a unified front to continue to deliver essential services on which our constituents rely. I seek to assure the community that our duty of care to them extends beyond just the ratepayers, but it includes everybody in this municipality, not just the property owners, but also the renters, the workers, the casual and insecure workers, the students, the people living with disability, the people living in aged care facilities, the children and the families. I seek to assure all people in Kingborough that they will not be forgotten. I thank the tireless efforts of the staff, the general manager and the mayor at what is a very difficult and unprecedented time. People are feeling extremely distressed and anxious, and I am too. Every single person I have met and talked with recently has been personally affected. We all know people who are fearful of losing a loved one, or fearful of losing their job, or have already lost their casual work hours, or are worried about how they're going to pay the rent, how they'll manage without sick leave, how they will pay their mortgage, or if they can keep their home and their life savings. These shocking times have indicated to me our vulnerabilities, and I believe it's shone a spotlight on some of the systemic and structural inequalities in our economy and across our society. I support these measures that we're discussing tonight. I support them, all of the measures to delegate additional responsibility to the General Manager in this time to keep our community safe and to mitigate this developing crisis. I support these measures to provide rental relief in the form of a waiver for the balance of the 1920 financial year for those tenants who rely on the council. I support these measures to not apply penalties and interest for outstanding rates and charges until the 30th of June 2020. But I implore Kingborough's COVID-19 team to constantly consider those people who do not have a safety net. Please consider those people who do not have assets to draw down upon, those people who were already facing hardship before this crisis, those people with insecure housing, people living with a disability, people who are unemployed already, people who are at risk of experiencing domestic violence, people whose job has already been axed, the casual sports coaches, the hospitality workers, the pensioners and the people on low incomes. Please consider every measure taken from here on in light of how it will affect those vulnerable groups. I welcome every measure in this report taken to help support ratepayers, and I look forward to extending that compassion, not just to ratepayers, but to every resident within the municipality. Thank you.
Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Obviously, we're currently seeing the local effects of an unprecedented global event, which to my mind was unfathomable a fortnight ago, and even a week ago when we sat here in this room for a workshop discussing our 2020-21 budget. Even a week ago seemed unfathomable that we could end up in the position that we're now in and the position that we appear to be approaching. This event is going to have an impact upon the Kingborough community. It's going to have an impact upon Council's budget, and I'm firmly of the view that the measures proposed are appropriate. I would encourage the General Manager and staff, as they become aware of other ways that Council might be able to assist the community through this time, that they bring those measures to us as soon as they come to hand. I'm firmly of the view that Council's view must be that we will do whatever it takes at this stage to assist the community through this time, whatever it takes to make sure that we don't stand in the way of people continuing to work where it's us that might be preventing that from happening, whatever it takes to ensure that no ratepayer suffers COVID-19 financial hardship because of council, and whatever it takes to continue to support our community through whatever means we have available to us. Unfortunately, Mayor, there are going to be budget implications of this. That is the reality. I think people need to be very aware of that, that we are not going to see a balanced budget at Kingborough Council, in my view, for some time. And I think it's important that people are aware of that and that they're informed about that and that they understand that that this council is going to suffer pain because of that, and at some stage we are going to have to share that with our ratepayers over the coming years. And I suspect that it will be more than years, it may even be a decade or more that we will suffer because of this, but we simply have no option. We cannot afford for our community to suffer because of this global event. We must do what we can to assist them through this time, and we simply have no option but to suffer those consequences and come out the other end and make what we can of the situation when the recovery starts. So thank you for the report, General Manager. Thank you to staff for all the work that they are currently doing and will continue to do over the coming weeks and months. I stand ready to support you and our community in whatever way I can.
Councillor Bastine.
Thank you. In here we have, in consultation with Business Tasmania, the Hobart City Council officers have commenced initial research to provide funding for retail businesses to help them move to online trading. Now, we have a tremendous number of small single operator sole traders, particularly in the handcraft type things within Kingborough, down the channel, lots and lots of people who will have no markets and things to sell their goods on and will find it quite difficult. Some of them run small Facebook pages, but if you look on Facebook now, it's absolutely overwhelmed with things. And I'm hoping that the council will be able to set up an online directory for these businesses so that if we need it to buy things, we will know where in Kingborough we can buy things to support our local businesses. So if we could have this set up on the council website, that would be absolutely wonderful.
So the discussion around this at that meeting was basically Hobart said, we're looking at something like what you've just described, but they said to Clarence and Glenorchy and Kingborough, would you like to be part of it? We're doing the groundwork now. Would you like it to be part of a greater Hobart response? And we said, in line with what's here, that we'd be happy to have a look at it, but also get where you're coming from in terms of wanting to make sure that it's really local. So we'd have to have a look and be convinced that it was in our best interests and of our community to do it with a Greater Hobart approach.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for everyone for your comments and general support for this approach. I guess I spoke to the other mayors of around Greater Hobart last Wednesday, and we discussed needing to work together collaboratively in the spirit of the City Deal and the Greater Hobart Act to make sure that we were working collaboratively and working together on this. The last thing we need is for there'd be different programs across different municipalities or different approaches, or for one council to be offering, no rates, or and another to be increasing rate. We want to make sure that we're being consistent across Greater Hobart and responding to what are very similar communities at the same time. So I'm really happy that we were able to meet last Friday, and the general parts of this report were agreed by the general managers and the mayors at that stage that we would all take similar to our meeting. So Hobart City Council and Clarence are considering similar tonight, and I think Glenorchy meets next week. So we'll all be, we're all at the same point in terms of the way that we approach this, but the only thing I wanted to add is that I don't think we really have a very good handle on what's going on at the moment. I think in a month's time we'll look back and think how naive we were sitting here thinking that we knew what was going on. It's going to change immensely. It's changed incredibly in the last week, and I think this time next month we'll have more information. Just wait. I think that's the general sense I get from the community as well, is that people are just uneasy because it's so uncertain what's going to happen now. So the motion gives, as we said, it gives the general manager the powers he needs in the worst case scenario, and we can't meet and the legislation's not changed, so that we can continue to not hold anyone back. Councillor Midgley, would you like to sum up? That being the case, the motion is, I'm going to read it because it's not printed in the agenda. The recommendation is that, one, to address the impacts of this pandemic, Council note the actions taken by the General Manager in responding to the COVID-19 emergency and authorise him to take all further actions necessary to continue to address this pandemic. 2. Council pursuant to Section 6(3) of the Land Use Planning Approvals Act 1993, delegate the General Manager to determine all applications that would otherwise be determined by the full council unless they are called in by a councillor for the period of 24 March to 27 April inclusive. 1. Elected members would be informed of any applications subject to this recommendation. 2. To make them aware of matters that they may wish to call in before any delegation is exercised. 2. Such delegation to be immediately revoked upon appropriate change to legislation to allow alternative council meeting formats. 3. Council provide rental relief in the form of a waiver for the balance of the 1920 financial year for those of its tenants experiencing financial hardship. 4. Council resolve not to apply penalties and interest for outstanding rates and charges until 30 June 2020. 5. Council endorse the initiatives outlined in this report to support local businesses. 7. Council continue to advocate to the state government for $50 million in assistance package to local government to be provided as grants to assist with the provision of essential services and for the delivery of funding-ready projects identified as part of the Australian Government stimulus package. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion is carried unanimously. The next item that we are considering as urgent business tonight is called the Interim Financial Hardship Policy. There's a recommendation on that report on page 3 and 4. Starts on page 3 and mostly on page 4. Looking for a mover and a seconder of that recommended motion. Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Grace. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you again to the General Manager and staff for putting this together in such a short time period. This is an interim financial hardship policy for 2019-20, so it's for the remainder of this financial year. I am assuming that we will be presented with something else for 2020-21. Also considering that as part of our budget deliberations. So I'm very pleased to see that this financial hardship policy is a way for us to immediately provide some relief to those who have been financially impacted and put into situations of financial hardship by the current coronavirus pandemic that we're experiencing. I think this is a real way that we can help households and small businesses and clubs and community groups manage their budgets at least for the next couple of months, and certainly as this situation evolves and more information comes to light, we will be in a better position to develop something for the next financial year. But certainly I think this is a very sensible move, and it's something we can do right now, and I urge my colleagues to support this motion.
Mayor, I support it as I second it. I just noted also in this report guidelines a ratepayer or tenant. So we have covered your previous, or Councillor Cordova's previous question, and so I'm pleased to see that in there, because the tenants are just as important to us as ratepayers, I guess, because if they don't pay their rent, well, the people that own the properties won't be able to maintain them, I guess. So I think it's pretty straightforward. The only thing, I guess, Mayor, is it won't get bogged down. I noticed here that Council, which is rightly so, we have to have some clause on why you're claiming, but as long as it doesn't get bogged down into a 10-page, go and get your birth certificate, yep, and all this sort of stuff that's going to go on for...
We've been talking about this today.
Okay, well, yeah. Thanks. You want to that?
Just to clarify, I mean, this is an interim... it's an interim hardship policy. So just to get us through the rest of this financial year, we discussed with General Manager, I hope you don't mind saying, General Manager, today, the last thing we want is to be bureaucratic is the right word about how we assess these. There's going to be a lot of people under a lot of stress in every not just financial stress, stress that are going to need to be given dispensation, and we want to do that as part of this interim policy while we're working on a full policy when we get more information for us to take next financial year. So very aware of that. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Question, Mayor, about on the application for financial hardship consideration, reason for application, just underneath where it says that, page 7, will you pass the benefit of this remission onto your tenants, and that's for landlords only, what is the, for want of a better term, enforcement mechanism to ensure that that it actually takes place? Has that been considered?
We haven't, but I guess I was thinking about examples where like small businesses I spoke to on the weekend who have the rates built into their rent, and what we don't want to be doing is allowing a landlord to come to us and say, I want to have my my rates postponed for a little while, and then not pass it, and then still insist that the tenant pay. And the same thing in a household situation. So the actual operation I'll leave to people like John Breen, our CFO, and Tim Jones, our finance manager. But that when we considered this, we were really talking about that scenario where we want to make sure that those under pressure, the businesses and the households, are also given the relief that the landlord is going to get from the council.
Thank you. So, through you, Mayor, I just want to say on this that I think it's, again, appropriate, timely and proportionate, and I am in wholehearted agreement with Councillor Grace about that notion that we want to pull out all stops here to make sure that people don't have to go through arduous bureaucratic situations to be able to get the to be able to receive the financial hardship benefit that we are trying to bestow upon people within the municipality. I strongly support everything that we can do to take some of the pain out of this crisis, and I welcome seeing the next iteration of that for the next financial year. And I'll just reiterate what I said in my initial contribution on the other report that we considered, which is that I really do hope that in addition to considering quite rightly proportionate measures that will reduce the pain felt by so many ratepayers, I also want to make sure that those that compassion is extended to all of the vulnerable members of the community. And I think that if I'm reading the room correctly, we are all seeing eye to eye around this chamber right now that the intention and the spirit of this report that we're seeing now is to make sure that nobody feels pain and that nobody is left behind. So I really look forward to seeing those operational measures that will ensure that this compassion is extended to vulnerable members of our community, not just ratepayers. But I commend the good work of the council, of the staff and the general manager thus far on what is, I think, a very good and timely response. Thanks.
Councillor Meachley.
Thank you, Mayor. Also, I support and this document, and also commend everybody who has worked in putting this together at a very timely and swift response. I just had a couple of questions, Mayor, just in regards to last Wednesday when you met with fellow mayors from other councils. Are they looking at similar hardship policies? Are we in line with what others are thinking?
We are lockstep, yeah. Different councils had different versions of this already. This is most closely aligned with what Glenorchy's got already, although I think they'll be tweaking theirs a little bit as well. But you know, obviously there's been a discussion in the media and amongst elected members from other councils about far more aggressive policies. But we talked it through, and we talked... got advice about our finances and the sort of situation we're looking forward to, and it was agreed that in the interim the best thing to do was to have a policy like this so that we could spend the next 3 months, hopefully not 3 months, the next little while getting more information about the situation and then coming back to our respective councils with a more thorough, better researched policy that can guide us through next financial year.
Thank you. And how will we disseminate this information to
yes,
the community?
Yeah. I spoke to the general manager this morning, and what I want to make sure happens is we have our fourth rates instalment notice will go out on the 30th of April this year, and I want it to be very, very, very clear with that rates notice to people what the hardship policy is and how they apply. That's the best way to communicate with them, because they'll get it as they open it. They can see, yes, you've got your rates notice, as you would normally get at this time of year, but here's an extra thing to say: look, we know times are tough, so you can apply by going to this website, online form, make it as easy as possible, complete it, and as I said, we don't want to be bureaucratic about the way we assess these.
Yep.
I think down the track we might need a bit more evidence, but in this initial stage we'd be just... we'd be assessing them as quickly as possible to make sure that we weren't putting people under further stress.
Thank you. That's fantastic to hear. And just on page 7 in regards to the application, I'm just wondering, it says, what assistance are you seeking from council? And it says list options. I look at that and think, yeah, would there need to be some examples of what those options
yes,
are?
Yes, that's what will happen, yeah. We're putting this together our finance manager put this together today. It's just...
This is
basically what we'd give to probably end up being Ms. Wilcox, who builds the online form, and we'll have the options for people to select when they go through this, which will be outlined there, and then they can give us the reason for application, that information about any tenants that are going to receive benefit, and then we assess the application there.
Great, thank you.
Councillor Bastine.
Yes, I'm just wondering if one of the options could be listed would be that their fees for their dog ownership might be waived. There's a lot of elderly people in rental accommodation who wouldn't be paying rates, but who will no doubt nonetheless still be in severe financial hardship. And the dog fees are $100 and something if you have an intact dog, I think. They're quite expensive.
$132, yes.
Oh, you know.
Mine's still intact, yes.
Yeah, so is mine.
Not for long. General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Bastone, I'm glad you raised it, because it also picks up on a point previously raised by Councillor Grace and Councillor Cordova and Councillor Midgley and others. Look, should Council see fit to adopt this recommendation, my approach and the approach of all of my colleagues will be to ensure that those that need it the most are not subjected to a bureaucratic questioning of why they need it. I would much rather that we focused on those in most need, and if that means one or two that arguably don't need it slip through, that's the least of our worries. And I hope that satisfies the very genuine questions being raised by councillors. This is an extraordinary period of time.
Well, I wanted to thank my colleagues for your contributions on both items. I'm aware that at other councils, they have, even at times like this tonight, there's grandstanding going on. There's people, elected members, who are trying to benefit from this situation by proposing some pretty preposterous things. And that doesn't happen at Kingborough Council, and I'm so proud that here the contributions that... I feel like we're all in this together, and we're all going to try our best to support our community through this unprecedented time. And it makes my job so much easier. I'm sure the General Manager's job so much easier when we come here with the right intentions and a teamwork orientation rather than an individual one. And staff as well. It makes everyone's job easier. And I think we are going to have a really tough time over the next 6 months, but nowhere near as tough as a lot of our community members who are here to support. So thanks so much for the contributions and for supporting the recommendations, I hope. Councillor Westwood. Okay, the motion as moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Grace, is that Council, one, adopt the attached interim financial hardship policy with further measures for 2020-21 to be worked through with other Greater Hobart councils, and two, authorise the General Manager to take on debt in order to fund the continuing operations of Council in the event the large numbers of hardship applications are approved for 2019-20. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Okay. We move on. We have the toilet strategy. There we go. the review of public toilet strategy, the recommendation on page 11. Talk about a change of Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Cordova. Councillor Grace, quite right. Councillor Grace.
I think it's a good report, and it's something now that's on the table. If we are looking to get some builders in work or whatever to help later, some of these could be, I guess, Mayor brought forward. If we can get grants as well, I think it's a paper now that's good. It's on here. We can now use it.
Yep. The Prime Minister said
and it is important to make sure our toilets, particularly from now on, are kept the best we can.
It'd be great to have the Prime Minister stimulating our toilets. Councillor Grace, look forward to it. Councillor Gordo.
Thank you very much. Through you, Mayor. I reiterate the sentiment of Councillor Grace that this is a really, it's a good report and it's a good time for it. I think that there hopefully will be opportunities in the near future to maybe fast track some of those. And I've certainly had a lot of conversation with, for example, people at Conyngham Beach about toilet infrastructure, and I think there's a general sentiment across the whole community about the importance of you know, public provisions like toilets. So I support this strategy, and I look forward to its swift implementation. Thanks.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I also think this is really good. It's good to have some structure around how we will be either refurbishing or replacing our public facilities. Toilets are one of the things that Council provides that everyone uses. I'm very glad to see Blackmans Bay on here. I think that's very much wanted in the community at the moment and needed. I had a question around whether this work will go out to tender or not.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, yes, under our, it will either go out to public tender or under our purchasing policy it will be a requirement to go out to quotes depending on the level of work, but I would envisage almost all of these projects are of a magnitude that they would go to public tender.
For the audio recording, Councillor Street left the meeting at 6:43 p.m. and he's returned at 6:45 p.m. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you for answering that question. I fully endorse the public toilet strategy and very excited to see it on the agenda.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, it's good to see this list in action. It has been definitely raised by many members of the community over the years in regards to our action and how we're going to prioritise which toilet upgrades. I just had a question in regards to the Adventure Bay pump out system, and excuse me, but I forget, is it the federal or the state money that we're getting for Bruny Island projects? And I'm wondering,
state,
could that at all be part of that, the pump out system be part of the state expenditure?
No, because we've already signed off on the deed, the grant deed with the state, and agreed on the projects we'll be doing, and the other part of that is that Taswater should be paying for some of it, I think.
Okay, thank you. And just another thought, I know that's only very minor details, there's so many other priorities, but I guess as well we have some in the future. We know that many artists are out of work, and it would be great to see some community murals or some art murals on some of the toilets in regards to their upgrades, and I'm just wondering at all if we have thought about that and if we could perhaps look at that in regards to part of our upgrades.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I think Councillor Cordova asked this question only two meetings ago. I guess this report focuses specifically on the upgrade of the infrastructure. I would imagine through our youth and our arts programs that we could look to combine those upgrades with appropriate public art and mural development. Yes.
Councillor Bastine.
It's just a little query about the order in which things are being done, considering that Silverwater Park is being looked at to be have work done on it now, but I note that the toilet part of it is not to be done till 24-25, and I just wondered in the scheme of things, wouldn't it be better to actually do the whole thing as a single unit? That's all.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, certainly in the consultation that we've been doing, the public toilet in Silverwater Park has come up many times, and we have brought it forward within the schedule. Given that we are yet to formalise our response to the consultation and develop a plan, it may well be that the refurbishment of the toilet in Silverwater Park becomes a higher priority, in which case we'd need to come back to council with a funding mechanism for that. It may well be it could be funded as part of the overall project rather than specifically through the capital work stream. But as I said, we're yet to formalise our response to that, but I would suggest that given the feedback to date, the toilet upgrade will be a higher priority than what's listed within the strategy.
Councillor Rick.
Thank you. I've got a couple of questions in relation to this. 4.7 talks about the demolition of the Sandfly Oval toilet block and that it was contingent upon the provision of facilities as part of the upgrade of the adjoining club rooms by the Longley Cricket Club. And then the next sentence says that it didn't come to fruition and so we need to maintain the facilities. Which bit didn't come to fruition? The public accessibility or the upgrade of the adjoining club rooms? I'm not clear from the report.
Through you, Mayor. So the Longley Cricket Club received a grant to upgrade their club rooms. That certainly came to fruition, and at the time we were keen to explore with them whether part of the work that was undertaken could include the provision of a more publicly accessible toilet within the facility. That's what didn't come to fruition. The money that they received went to the upgrade of their club rooms and a deck out the front, and we weren't able to get an improved public toilet facility as part of that project, hence the need to retain the existing. I guess I'd also add the other thing that has changed is the proposed Northwest Bay River Trail, for which there's been a draft report that will come to council shortly, but it does identify the Sandfly Oval as a potential trailhead, in which case it would be very good to have a publicly accessible toilet that is open all hours rather than one that would only be open when the club rooms are open.
Thank you. That's a little disappointing then for the wider community in that area that we weren't able to come to an agreement with the cricket club to provide better facilities for the residents, and now we have to maintain for the time being the block that's there. I also just wanted to ask in relation to the Longley Reserve. In the previous list at 4.5, there was proposed for 21-22 a new facility for there. It costed $175,000, and now when we go down to the recommendation at point 10, the Longley Reserve is a new facility at $125,000, so a saving of $50,000. Could you just explain what the changes have been? Obviously, there's some changes in design or what we're providing there that have resulted in an anticipated reduction in the project cost.
It's just me.
Through you, Mayor, when the strategy was first proposed, what was envisaged would have been a standard toilet block. We've now costed just a single modular unisex facility, and we've had that done a more detailed costing on that, so that figure of 125 is certainly a less arbitrary figure and more accurate based on costings that have recently been obtained.
Thank you.
No other lights on. Councillor Grace, would you like to sum up?
Briefly, I noted here, Adventure Bay, this has been brought forward again about the putting a pump system in or close-loop pump. system again. If we approached Taz Water, they've taken over the water facility, knowing that that RP system was in place for our water supply. That is one issue maybe that staff should pursue further. As I said in the opening, I think this is a good idea. Some of these toilets now go through has given us a good opportunity, because if we get so much unemployment and the government's prepared to hand out some money, much like the Red Scheme back those days, what is stopping this council from employing some of the builders themselves and undertaking the work and keep it within the municipality? It's an option to look at.
You're not really supposed to bring new material in when you're summing up, Councillor Gray, so I just realised as
you finished... It's part of the construction.
I just realised that I forgot to put you... I'm sorry. Okay, with that, that was a summing up. So the recommended motion is that the schedule of works for Council's public toilet facilities as listed be endorsed in Council's public toilet strategy, updated accordingly. It was moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move to page 12, which is Boat Shed Leases, Nebraska Beach, and there's a recommended motion on the bottom of page 13. And for a mover and a seconder.
I'll move.
Moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Cordova. Councillor Grace.
Mayor, I don't think we need to waste a lot of time on this, as we've dealt with this, two months ago?
Recently, yeah.
Yes, so I think it's pretty well in everybody's mind still. And this is what basically Council agreed to. On the condition that we didn't get flooded with a lot of people objecting, and I haven't heard that happened. So I'll move that motion as printed.
No other lights on at this stage. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I note that we did receive an email this afternoon from a resident and owner of one of the boat sheds, and I'm just wondering if I can get some further clarification, and I'm just for the public record as well, just the question on the consultation process.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, the first point I'd make is that the consultation process in relation to this is focused on the public, so the intent of going through a process is to give the public an opportunity to object to council leasing out the land upon which these boat sheds currently exist. So there's been some confusion from the lessees or the proposed lessees that think this process is about them having an opportunity to object. Whilst we have considered the objections, it's certainly not the intent that the Local Government Act includes this process for. But to answer the question, our property officer has followed in full the requirements of the Local Government Act under Section 178 with respect to the public advertising process required, and that is advertising twice within a daily circulating newspaper. In addition to that, he posted notices on each of the boat sheds, and bearing in mind that because there's no title to these boat sheds and no rates, we don't actually know who owns them. So it's not possible for us to write to boat shed owners when we don't know who they are. So we have followed, in relation to the advertising process, all of the requirements of the Act and a little bit more.
Thank you.
Again, no other lights. So I still don't have any. In which case, Councillor Grace, did you want to say
just an apology to the lady that quoted in an email that I didn't get back to, but unfortunately I was sick and out of off duty, so I apologise. Not very often that happens.
Especially on Bruny Island, Councillor Grace. The motion is moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Cordova, that Council, having considered the objection received to the proposed leases of boat sheds on public land at Nebraska Beach, resolves to proceed with its intent to lease in accordance with the terms and conditions of its resolution on 28 January 2020 and authorises the General Manager to finalise the lease agreements. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move on to page 14, and the motion 17.3, item 17.3 is revised footpath trading on street dining and vending policy, and there's a recommended motion on the bottom of page 16. Someone to move and second that? Councillor Reet moves and Councillor Midgley seconds. Councillor Reet.
Thank you. This document revises our on-street dining and vending policy, and it's trying to incorporate. We only have two areas really effectively in Kingborough with the suppliers around Kingston Beach and the Kingston Community Hub and potentially Blattons Bay area as well. I'm pleased to see that we were able to have this presented to the Access Committee. We're, on behalf of that committee that I chair, we're delighted to see that there are some amendments made to take into consideration the room that wheelchairs need to manoeuvre around. There's some widening of the areas and so on, so I appreciate that being included, but hopefully this will provide clarity moving forward for not only members of the public but also for the vendors who are wanting to have dining outside their premises.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a question in regards to the fees incurred for businesses when looking at trading on the footpath. I'm wondering again with the current situation if we can revise the fees regarding this. I guess in the future I would hope to see again, making it easier and enabling our business to do this without charging a heavy financial cost to enable them to do something, because it's really part of an activation as well. So I don't know at all if we can put any amendment in there or change, or we just leave it as it is. I'm wondering any feedback on that.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Midgley, I've taken that on board, and I think that that's an appropriate matter to be discussed with our fees and charges when we next gather to discuss a draft budget for the next financial year.
Great, thank you. And yeah, thank you, Councillor Reet, for sharing in regards to the input in regards to the Access and Advisory Committee, and it's great to see that some of their recommendations that they put forward are in the policy.
Okay, there's no other lights on. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Councillor Bastow,
right,
you're right in front of me. Councillor Bastow.
I just have a couple of questions. What is non-commercial roadside vending?
Isn't that the reference that we've changed now? Oh, sorry, no, that's not right. Non-commercial roadside vending.
But it's Sorry? But that's commercial. You're getting money when you're doing it. No, I mean, I'm being quite serious there. And the other one is...
No, we have the answer. General Manager.
Oh, thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I know of one instance in Kingborough, Taruna, I think, and there may be more, where, in fact, given the current circumstances, we have residents who make available locally grown produce free of charge for those in need.
Okay, thank you. And we charge them $92 to do that. That seems a bit rough.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Again, Councillor Bastone, in the current environment in which we operate, that would be the sort of request for waiver that would sail through.
Right, thank you. And the other one is on furniture, including chairs, tables, barriers. I'm just wondering, are there standards for barriers? It's just written as barriers everywhere, but is there not some particular standards?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Bastone, I'm reluctant to start talking about Australian standards, but I suspect that the answer to your question is picked up at the time the application is received, generally in discussion with council officers who endeavour to make site inspections at that time.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, taking careful note this time. There are no lights on. Councillor Reid, would you like to sum up? No. The motion, as moved by Councillor Reid, seconded by Councillor Midgley, is that Council resolve that the attached draft footpath trading policy replace the previous on-street dining and vending policy. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, the motion is carried unanimously. And we move on to page 27, which is information reports. There's a recommended motion further down the track, and I'm sure it says to be noted. Does anyone want to move that? Moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Midgley. Our first item is Mayor's communications. Comments or questions? Your name is Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm just wondering if you could provide an update on consultation that has occurred with some of the sporting clubs at the sports precinct. I note that you have had a significant amount of meetings over the last 6 weeks with a number of sporting clubs up at the sports precinct, and if you could provide an update of where that consultation has taken you and what outcomes we might expect from that.
Yep. Thanks. So it was very, very clear from the debate that councillors expected us to undertake a thorough consultation with the users of the sports precinct. And so the morning after that meeting, I contacted Paul Gonomsky from the Tigers Football Club and met with him, I think, 2 days later, to open a line of communications that frankly didn't exist between the club and certainly not with myself, but I don't think with a lot of certainly not that I was aware of anyway. And from those discussions we talked about growth in the club and also the intent of the report, which is all about sharing facilities. And we also talked about the opportunity that was actually uncovered by the cricket club a couple of years ago with the 2018 state election, when they received funding to get a report on the third oval at the Twin Ovals, and how we might be able to work together with other users to get funding to build that third oval. With the advantages, we've already got a feasibility report that's been completed. It says it is feasible, costs $2.5 million. So from there, we committed to going to speak with other users. So I then met with Oliver Hipple, who's the president at the Little Laths Association, went down and had a chat with him at Gormley Park, learned a lot. Did you know that female athletes, little athletes, refuse to use our toilets at Gormley Park? Because I didn't, and that is not good enough. We then moved... went up and had a chat to our turf crew about all the things about turf wickets on the top oval. We also met with the Lions, with Mr. Wade, a couple of days later to talk to them about growth, and also spoke to the cricket club during all this as well. What we've tried to do, and I know the general manager also met with Mr. Wade with the four clubs, we've tried to get them to discuss sharing a little bit better. That's the main issue we've got here is... don't mind saying publicly that the Lions have got a plan to put a function centre at Lightwood Park for themselves. We already have Football and Cricket Club acting, you know, pretty much for themselves, and Little Laths has sort of been left behind, and that what we're trying to do is encourage a relationship between them so they can share the facilities better. but not only share the existing facilities but also campaign together for an additional oval. All of that was predicated on us not being in a pandemic, and I suppose the current situation is that there's no sporting activity going on up there. The only light at the end of this tunnel might be that one of the stimulus projects we go for, and in fact we've already made representations to the state and federal government, is that we would, a shovel-ready project almost, is that third oval, and would that be part of a stimulus? And so that's a matter to be discussed. The best outcome for everyone would be that third oval, but the likelihood of it getting up, I don't know at this stage. Get in. Sorry, Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. A few quick ones, Mayor. On the 25th of February, met with Phil Long, Richard Adler to discuss the new Margate Hills Community Association and its plans. Do you have any updates about their plans?
I think they just felt there was no Margate, big town, no advocacy group, or none that I'm aware of or they're aware of at the moment anyway. And the Margate Hills, they wanted to focus on that part, not the so much in that lower part or the central business part, but on that area at the top of Van Mori Road and all that area. And we had a good chat. They didn't have any. They've got their issues. It's mainly going to be around roads, footpaths, things like that. But the biggest outcome was, I said, come along to our consultation forum, and I think you were there. I think they arrived at our community consultation forum, which is great. So that gets them in the loop as to what's happening. And I suggested to them that they should discuss with other community associations at that meeting about what works for them, what doesn't. But they're getting a building a membership together, and they want to work with council. It's a really productive meeting. Good people.
Great. Sounds very positive.
Yeah.
The next one is on the 28th of February. Met with Dr. Bastian Seidel, candidate for Huon. I just wanted an update and to know whether or not you plan on meeting with Pat Caruana, Greens candidate for Huon.
Thanks for the question. I have actually contacted proactively the Greens candidate and offered him a meeting, but he so far hasn't accepted. So unfortunately, I'll just wait and see if he feels that I'm worth his time. The first time I met Dr. Seidel, again, it was sort of feels like an age ago. We were talking about what the biggest local issues were, and we're still talking about roads and footpaths and parks and. I suspect all those things have changed, and we hasn't been any further correspondence.
Thank you. PlaySchool, any updates on PlaySchool forum?
We had a lot of RSVPs, didn't we, Ms. Wilcox, and we didn't sort of get as many as we'd like. Do you want to give an update on how we're going with that, Ms. Wilcox? No. For those watching at home on the live stream, Ms. Wilcox is multi-talented and also running the live stream. We've just asked her a question. Maybe you could come over and answer it here.
Sure.
Hi, Ms. Wilcox.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, there was a lot of responses online to the survey for the PlaySchool strategy, and that is now being finalised to be published.
Thank you. My final question, Mayor, because I simply can't resist. It sounds too wonderful for words. 6th of March, Kingston Primary School, presentation to Year 3 and 4 students about local government as part of their unit on democracy. What gems of wisdom did you pass on to the young students at Kingston?
It was the best. The funny thing about those things is they thank you profusely for doing it. Councillor, you know about this, but it's the best thing ever. It is the best hour of life. It was awesome. Had heaps of fun. They asked me all sorts of hard questions. What's my favourite food? What's my favourite? A bunch of other things. Some good questions as well. it was really great. And is that right? Yeah. No, it's a great little school, and it was really fun. And they were great kids, and they listened intently for a whole hour. So, yeah, it was good. Any other questions on that one? Development Services Quarterly Report. Councillor Midgley.
Is your light not working? You put your hand up. Oh.
No, we've already moved it. It's an information report, so, yeah. Sorry. Councillor Midgley's got her light on first, though.
I do. I'm just getting the report up. Sorry, Mayor. Just had, and thank you very much for Development Services for this report and update. It looks like they have made some significant actions in regards to the planning review update, so thank you very much in regards to that. I note, and I didn't write what page it was on, sorry, I note that there's an apartment code. Sorry, I can't remember what page that was on now. Pardon?
Page 31.
Page 31. There's note to a draft apartment development code, and there's note that perhaps some area schemes might have to be amended. I just note that when we looked at the Kingston Park area SAP, that there was reference to an apartment design. I don't know if it was an apartment. It was maybe a apartment design guide versus an apartment code. I'm just wondering at all, what does this apartment code look like? Does it have any kind of similar references what was in the apartment design guide? Because I quite liked some of the ideas that were presented in that apartment design guide. I'm just wondering for some more explanation of that. And I know we don't have officers here at the moment.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Midgley, I will follow up tomorrow and make sure the councils get provided with a copy of the code and the officers' thoughts in response to the code.
Thank you. Thank you, that's all.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I note that I appreciate this report coming forward. I think a quarterly report on our development service is extremely valuable. We do get quarterly reports on a number of other departments of council, and I think in particular this quarterly report, I hope, will continue. I think it is extremely valuable. I do note that Kingborough is one of Tasmania's fastest growing municipalities, and both planning and building approvals are reaching new records each year, so certainly understand the pressure that staff are under to process all of those applications and help the community, including mums and dads building houses and developers, to understand our planning scheme and to work within that. I appreciate that the report provides an update of the planning review that was adopted by Council late last year. I do have a number of questions, though. I guess just for the audio to note that our Manager of Planning Services or Development Services is not here tonight, so I apologise that I didn't send the questions through earlier. It's been a busy few days, so I understand if some of them can't be answered tonight. I guess one thing that's missing as we look through the work for planning is the hunting field land supply order and an update on where that process is at. I'm wondering if staff might be able to provide an update on any work that's been undertaken to date or any work that they expect to do over the coming quarter for that.
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Westwood, thank you for the question. The situation with Huntingfield is that the state government are about to commence their public consultation, having enacted the Housing Supply Act and upzoned the land. The state government officers have prepared a master plan, and the next stage of the process is for the state government to undertake community consultation on the master plan. They will then receive community feedback and in lodging a development application to council, will provide council with both the community feedback received during that phase and also their response to those questions raised or feedback raised by the community, which we're advised may result in some changes to the master plan before it actually is lodged as a development application for council's consideration.
Thank you. And just a follow-up question. I know this is uncharted territory, really, for our development services. In terms of that consultation with the community, is there a role that council or the planning authority have in that, or is that consultation purely done by the state government and provided to us for information?
Chair Manager.
Through Mr. Mayor, Councillor Westwood, my understanding from the department is that they see it as their role to undertake the community consultation, given that at the end of the day, once they lodge a development application, council planning staff will have to assess that application, advertise it and put it through the planning process. And council, sitting as a planning authority, will ultimately determine the application.
Thank you. In relation to 3.1 expiry of old permits, is it possible to have an update on how things are going with that issue in regards to the council being a permit authority and the 11,000 letters that have been sent out to affected people?
General Manager.
Yep, through you, Mr. Mayor. That situation is actually unfolding relatively well in Kingborough. Of the 11,000 pieces of correspondence sent out, the last update I had late last week was that approximately 60% and increasing almost daily had now been resolved satisfactorily. And by saying that, I mean that owners of those buildings now have a certificate of occupancy, the importance of which is that post the 30th of June of this year, if any of those owners were to put the property on the market without that, that would restrict their ability to actually sell the property with buildings. So it's progressing well. We also have a large number that have notified us to say that the works never proceeded, and again that gives council officers the opportunity to close the file. In the context of the state government's legislation, I think we've responded proactively from day one, and we are well placed come the 30th of June to expect that there shouldn't be more than a handful of outstanding old permits.
Thank you. I have a number of questions in regards to the attachment, the update on the progress of the 19 recommendations that Council adopted as part of the 2019 planning review. I guess just a general comment in this uncertain environment that potentially we don't know whether budget bids will be able to be made to employ additional staff in that area. In relation to the second recommendation, that consideration be given to employing or making provision for a planning technical / customer service officer to be situated at the front counter to receive advice and check on planning inquiries and lodgements. I'm just a little bit concerned that as part of the response to that, there is a proposal to change the role of to put a bid in for resources to undertake that role as recommended, but then to use that resource as part of an administrative role to help planners. It says here, for tasks such as clerical tasks, sealing of documents, reviewing Part 5 agreements, inspections and so forth. I think that recommendation was made for a reason. I think it would be very valuable to have someone at the front counter, and I guess in their downtime it would be appropriate for them to be doing administrative tasks, but I would certainly hope that their prime role would be, as recommended in the review, to be situated at the front counter and receive and advise the public on planning. So I guess that's just a comment. Number four, that standardised checklists or procedure manuals for the processing of applications be prepared to guide and assist new or junior staff. It says this recommendation is substantially complete. So does that mean that since this review occurred in December last year and Council adopted those recommendations, that we now have new checklists and procedures in place?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr Mayor. Councillors, would certainly those that are listed there, but whether that particularly answers your question, I'm afraid I can't say, so I'll take it on notice.
Thank you. Recommendation 5, that a review of delegations be undertaken to facilitate less matters being required to be referred for review to the planning coordinator and enable the planning staff to deal with a range of matters in a far more timely and efficient manner. This has yet to be undertaken. So I would consider that very important. I guess probably more important in terms of producing standardised checklists or procedure manuals. And so I guess I find it concerning that we are still only having preliminary discussions in relation to that issue. 7... that checklists for each of the zones and codes be prepared, listing all of the assessment criteria and elements as a simple checkbox list to be included on the file of each application. I'm not sure if that extends to the reports that are being prepared for members of the planning authority, but in terms of the reports that I've seen coming through recently as a member of a planning authority, there has been I've noticed a big improvement to date in being able to easily digest that information and use that information to make decisions on. So I thank the staff very much for the effort they've made in I guess condensing the amount of reading that members of the planning authority need to do, because sometimes our agenda papers can be 300 pages long, so anything that can help us to digest that information is great. I've just had a question in relation to number 10. In relation to the absence of statutory timeframes, Council established in-house timeframes for the processing of post-development application approvals, and it says that work will commence shortly with the arrival of newly appointed planners. So just a question in terms of how many newly appointed planners do we have and how many vacancies do we still have in that area of Council?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr Mayor. We have... Straight off the top of my head, Councillor Westwood, recently appointed a new senior planner who commences the first week in April. We've appointed another planner who has commenced. We've also appointed a replacement development engineer in the same department who has commenced. I'll take the opportunity also, Councillor Westwood, to say that given the current situation, pardon me, regarding our response to the pandemic, we are finding that in some areas of the organisation we will have redeployment opportunities, and it is my intention to, wherever possible, redeploy additional resources to address any remaining backlog in the planning team. So that will pick up on a previous question that you raised earlier in the review recommendations.
Thank you. So in terms of vacancies, how many vacancies do we still have?
Through you, Mr Mayor. Sorry, I forgot to answer that part. Currently, we have no vacancies as such, apart from the two or the 1.6 positions recommended.
Thank you. So in relation to recommendation 11, that changes to processes and delegations be extended to all qualified planning staff to facilitate all written communications, except where required by statute, to be undertaken directly from the assessing planner and by email. So then we've got a list of all of the correspondence that is required by statute, including quite a number of things. Requests under Section 54 of the Act, notify persons of minor amendments to applications, undertake public notifications, request additional time to grant a permit, serve notice of a permit decision, notify parties in writing of mediation, serve notice of a decision to include an agreement as a permit condition, serve notice of a decision out of time, serve notice of an appeal to representatives under Section 59 of the Act. So I understand the requirement that these be sent in snail mail, as far if I'm understanding this correctly, but have Development Services staff made an effort to also send that hard copy by email?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes. And Councillor Westwood, I'm glad you asked this question because I actually followed up on, I regularly follow up on progress with these review recommendations. But in this particular one, what I can tell you is that currently the planners are providing every response via email, but there is a statutory requirement for many, and they've been listed there, to also go via snail mail. The situation is, though, that our pathway system provides us with the ability for everything to go via email and needs to be updated so that that can occur. With the additional recent engagement of a new senior planner, including a new strategic planner for council's information, we now have a fully resourced department, and that will free up a resource to address what has been an issue that's needed addressing for some time.
Thank you. In relation to recommendation 12, that detailed planning information and fact sheets be prepared for Council's website to provide better community planning information, the response says that this recommendation is substantially completed. So whilst I don't expect an answer now, General Manager, perhaps on notice you could tell us what new information and fact sheets have been put onto Council's website. Recommendation 13, Council consider whether the current Kingborough planning scheme is structured in accordance with Council and community expectations. It notes that Council has submitted a draft local planning provisions schedule and that has been sent to the Tasmanian Planning Commission for consideration. Once the Commission accepts the draft LPS, Kimber will be directed to place the draft scheme on public exhibition for a period of 60 days. It is during that time the Council and the public are able to make submissions to the proposed scheme. I thought we were talking about overlays and potential overlays which made our scheme possibly more rigorous, more complex. I'm not sure how are we going to review that if we've already approved something that's gone to the Tasmanian Planning Commission.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Good question, Councillor Westwood. I'll take that one on notice because our new strategic planner is about to commence, I'm pleased to say, and we'll be provided with a copy of the planning review and the 19 recommendations, and we will draw his attention to that particular recommendation so that we can get a response from the new strategic planner.
Thank you. The final question relates to recommendations 16 and 17, that Council undertake a trial pre-lodgement service to ascertain demand and resource level requirements, that in the initial instance the pre-lodgement service be promoted primarily for residential type developments, and then 17, that initially such trial service be offered on a free basis. And the response to both of those is that the recommendation is complete. So does this mean that we have a new service that we are now offering that we didn't offer before the review was undertaken?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, my understanding is that the short answer is yes, and what the intention of the response is trying to say there is that it will continue because it has been well received, and it is, I think, something that the development industry will benefit from.
Thank you. That's the last of the questions. I'm sorry to have taken up so much time. I guess my concern is that we had a review done with 19 recommendations, and as part of this response, which I do appreciate very much, I feel like the response is indicating that a lot of things are already done, and I just want to make sure that new things have been done in response to the review, and it's not just saying, well, we already did it and so therefore it's done, because obviously if it's a recommendation, it means that extra things need to be done to ensure that our planning and development services processes are as easy to navigate as possible and best fit for purpose. Thank you.
I nearly went to sleep, but it was well put, Deputy Mayor. I just have two queries. On page 31, 2.4, an amendment to the Kingston Park. Myself and Councillor Cordova was interested in. I note here in the public expedition the amendments. I guess we still talk. Are we talking about this one that we brought back to council, and I voted to have this sent off to the planning resource tribunal? Because I note here that the submissions and schedules for the 24th of March, which is tomorrow, is where they're holding their public representation and on this particular one. I have not seen anything in the Mercury to that effect. And when I raised the question on the night, and I can't remember when we dealt with that, I think it was December.
January 13th,
thank you. I was assured by you, Mr. General Manager, that this was all going to come back for further public consultation. That's on the heights, etc. Or am I talking about... Because there's been a couple of amendments, if I understand, on Kingston Park.
So what you were doing there on that meeting was to vote to send the public consultation to the Tasmanian Planning Commission. Yeah. And so that's happened. And I think from memory, it was Councillor Midgley who asked the question at a meeting, could people make public representations, could councillors make public representations? And I think from memory the answer is yes, if you wanted to make a representation, you could. The hearing's on the 24th of March.
Certainly. That's tomorrow.
Well, I suspect, to be honest, it's not happening now.
Could you follow up, please? Because I have not seen it advertised. To give the people an opportunity to be able to...
So in this case, the representatives would have been... People who put representations in would have been advised that they have an opportunity to make submissions to the Tasmanian Planning Commission.
I understand that, but at the night when I... I voted in favour of it to go to the planning resource because I was assured that the public would have further time to have more input into what we were actually doing with the height ceilings and all the issues that was raised as part of that wasn't fully endorsed or properly spelled out in the report that came before council.
Yeah, and so those people do have the opportunity to make the representations. Yeah,
right. So, and now look, as far as the report's concerned, and I'm going to be open and transparent. I think this is just another report. We have been told that many times, Mr. Mayor, about the planning department. In my day-to-day activities in the field, I have not heard of any improvements in that planning department. We have been told before that somebody with expertise would be put on the front desk to answer questions That's not happened as far as I'm aware, and a lot of the public will tell you that. Basically, Mayor, without going on and on about it, I won't support this because I think until I see something positive happening, and I am getting phone calls only the weekend again on a Saturday about things that's going on in here with the planning department. Though I'll leave it at that, but I cannot support because I can't see any evidence in how this is all going to be adopted and our planning department is going to all of a sudden come out of the doldrum without a proper change within that department.
Thanks, Councillor Gray. So in response, I want to read an email that Council received on Friday from one of our biggest applicants and also, frankly, one of our biggest detractors. And it says, This is the sort of positive action that is needed at present in this current climate. I've had three projects cancelled today due to coronavirus, and based on our office, Kingborough Council's office's response, there is a good chance this project will now go ahead. I've thanked him for his proactive response. So that's an example of one of our biggest detractors coming back and saying that they're really, and I'm happy to forward you this email so that you can see it for yourself.
I'd be very happy, Mayor, and I'm not saying every single one, but I am saying there's a lot of, and you know yourself with the amount of people that complain to you.
But you're right, but I just want to say it's going to take a lot of time for us to get this right. There's also a lot of things changing.
There's got to be changes from the top.
But there's a lot of change happening in the actual... There's a lot changing.
I don't want to get down into a debate. We have crisis on our hands at the moment, and I appreciate that we have to work now more harmony with people to try and get the day-to-day stuff. And I realise that, and I'm just making my point that this report, to me, is just... a report that's going to go nowhere.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I have spoken and asked a question before. I've just got one more question, and I note we have an email tonight in regards to a community member raising the 15 Home Avenue and concerned about the housing development being 70-plus dwellings in that area. I'm just wondering, in regards to Home Avenue, what is the process now? I note that there's also some amendment approved with some modifications. That was the current status. So I'm just wondering, what is the status of 15 Home Avenue now? When does it come back to council? At what stage in regards to the design of the development?
Happy to pass on to Mr. Arnold if he's got anything as well. But I did see, I can't remember where it was, guys from Evolve, Cinecare Evolve, it was a while ago now, January, and they were still, but they had no, they were months off and potentially now longer, actually coming to council with a development application for homes or units or whatever. They didn't know what they wanted to do, so I think a ball's in the applicant's court and potentially, especially now, a long way off. Anything to add to that? In terms of the planning review, as I said, the recommendation for additional planners, I wish we needed to, but today I spoke to a builder who is talking to me about laying off 40 workers and telling me that he's got projects cancelled. All over the place, I don't think we're going to need more planners anymore. I think one of the issues of being overworked in the planning department will be resolved by that chart comparing subdivision applications over the last 6 years dipping right down, and I think that recommendation is null and void. Doesn't mean the others shouldn't be done though, of course. The next item is an interesting one because it's the minutes of the Bicycle Advisory Committee, but I was advised today that the officer responsible has neglected to include a motion which requires council to consider it, and so for that reason we'll bring it back to for a meeting with an actual recommended motion. Councillor Midgley, who was there, saying that's a good thing. Glad.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm glad that you raised that because I had been in conversation regarding that and then I just thought it was fait accompli and we brought back, but I'm very happy with that.
So we'll leave that for now and we'll come back to it if we meet again anytime soon. 4 minutes of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee. Councillor Westwood. Anything to say?
Thank you, Mayor. These are the minutes of our most recent meeting. We had a really fantastic meeting where we had members of the Road Safety Advisory Council come along and talk to us about their Love 40 initiative, which is extremely relevant to the work of the committee. One of our 4 focus areas is safety around schools. So we have a member of our committee who's currently working to put together a grant application to apply for some signs, which we would, if we're successful, intend to rotate around the municipality. So each school would have 3 weeks of the year where they had a sign that tells motorists of their speed and gives them a smiley face or a frown, depending on that speed. With the aim of changing driver behaviour and making people aware that there are a lot of little people around school areas who don't often look before they cross the road. So I think the committee is working hard behind the scenes and we're very passionate about the action plan. We certainly work very closely with Kingston Police. It's very good that the inspector at the Kingston Police Station comes along to every meeting and makes himself available and we very much appreciate his time. So I'm happy if anyone has any questions about this to try and answer them as best I can.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Westwood, again. Every time I see these minutes, it looks like you're achieving some fantastic results, so congratulations. I just had a couple of questions regarding the safety and bus stop issues in Firthside. There was a discussion, if you can remember.
Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, through you, Mayor. That is an issue raised by a member of the committee about some children getting off the bus at a place in Firthside and not looking before they cross the road. And the bus, from memory, I think the bus might be stopping too close to the curb, and that committee member was going to have a chat to the executive officer of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee about potentially measures to make that safer so that we might have some yellow lines there or some signage or something that that might help for the bus that drops those children off in that area.
Thank you. And just one more question. In regards to, it said, Councillor Jo Westwood discussed the results of the correspondence sent to the Department of State Growth regarding speeds on the Southern Outlet. Just wondering if you can remember what that was about, please.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. This refers to the section of road on the exit of Kingston in the 80 zone before we get to the 100 zone on the Southern Outlet heading up to the Hobart CBD. It has been noticed that cars consistently exceed that 80 kilometre per hour speed limit. I think people kind of get it in their head that they're now on the highway but they're not in the 100 zone yet. There is a slip road that comes down where the buses come off the overpass. And so a committee member drafted a letter which we sent to the Department of State Growth. They wrote back almost immediately and said they thought the 80 kilometre per hour speed was appropriate for that area. They had no intention of changing it, I guess, either up or down, but that they would put extra signage to alert motorists that it was an 80 kilometre per hour zone still. And those signs went up, I think, within the week. So it was a very swift and very positive response.
And I just, through you, Mayor, also just wondering if there's been any matters raised in the committee regarding racism. I note that in Hobart there has been some safety concerns currently in regards to racism in the community, and I'm just wondering at all if the community taps into any matters in regards to that area in Kingborough.
Through you, Mayor. It hasn't been discussed at a committee level, although I have received personally some emails from members of our community who have concerns along those lines. We have four action areas, and one of them is personal safety and community safety, and I guess we work to improve safety for all of our residents, and at this point in time we haven't had a focus on that type of issue at a committee level yet.
Are the lights on? Could I suggest to the mover and seconder though that we delete not item 3? Councillor Street, happy to delete item 3. And Councillor Midgley, happy to delete item 3, yep, given we didn't discuss it. The motion, oh, with the bicycle one, Councillor Grace, we didn't note because we're going to bring it back to the next meeting, whenever, whatever year that happens in. I'm saying we might not have meetings. Okay, the motion, as moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Midgley, is that the following information reports be noted. 1. Mayor's Communications. 2. Development Services Quarterly Report, January to March 2020. 3. Minutes of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee, dated 17 February 2020. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against?
No.
We'll have a division. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Councillor Street, Reet, Bastone, Cordova, Midgley, Westwood and Winter. And those against is Councillor Grace. Thank you. He didn't note it.
But it's only the one issue.
Yeah, he didn't note it though. He refused to note it. Very good. I like it. The next item is the... Yes, the page 51 we're on, and we get to confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Looking for someone to move and second that recommendation. Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Bastone. The recommended motion is, I'm going to go back to my other notes because I'm all lost here. In accordance with Regulation 15 of Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority, move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, and Kettering United Church property. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. In accordance with the Kingborough Council meeting, audio recording guidelines policy, recording of the open session will now cease. And I'd like to say thanks very much to our Facebook